hey, how many of you guys know this? Is the whole book, like we talked about last week, is the Logos of God. The message about God, which is Logos, we'll share that again, is about Jesus. That whole book is about you. If Jesus fulfilled it, he was the author, but he was the finisher of the book. So as we look at that book, how many of you guys know if you read it with a veil over your eyes yet, like reading it through the law, it can kill you. And that's scripture versus the word of God, the logos of God. They're very different. And I'm going to show you that. It says, I grew up very religious and it wasn't their fault. It's just, hey, go follow these rules, do all these things. But, and really I would read, when I would get into the Bible and read it, I would start feeling condemned. I go, I don't even want to read this thing anymore because I already know I'm bad. And this is just showing me how bad I am. Does that make sense? Because I was reading it through a veil and thinking that the old covenant was for me to respond to. And it wasn't. Jesus said the law, the Psalms and the prophets was written about who? Him. And he came to fulfill all scripture. And he said, listen, if not one jot or tittle will be removed until your sin is removed. So if it's not all removed, then we're still in sin. Some of you guys know he fulfilled it. When he said he fulfilled it, he fulfilled it. And when he said it's finished, how much was finished? All of it. Amen? So as much as you're going to experience in the new covenant, as much as you really believe it's finished. And so my job is to show you your inheritance, how much Jesus already qualified for you. And so anyway, I just want to show you the whole thing is good news. And if you're reading it, and because some people are like, how are you getting that out of the scripture, etc.? Here's how I do it. It's simple, really. One, I don't have a lot of formal trading, thank God. That'll kill you. our Bible school is short, condensed, and packed. And I was like, thank you, Father. That's all I needed to know. But then he teaches you. That's how it works. And so people ask me, how do you get this stuff? Like, here's what I do is I go, Lord, what does this mean? And if I feel condemned or judgmental about it, I put it down for a while because I go, I know I'm not getting this. I know I'm not, I'm reading this through the law, the old, I'm reading this through a veil yet. And it says the scripture written and engraved on stones is the ministry of death, but the Holy Spirit brings life. So the old covenant at Pentecost, when Moses came down Mount Sinai, what happened? 3,000 people died. When the Spirit was given at Pentecost in the new covenant, what happened? They received the Holy Spirit. Everybody heard them speaking the wonderful works of Jesus in their native tongue, and 3,000 people lived, were saved. Amen? So there's an old one and a new one. So you got to make sure you're reading it, that the old one's been fulfilled. So you can go look at every promise in the old covenant now and go, thank you, Jesus, you did that for me. That's what an inheritance is. An inheritance means you did the work, but we receive it as children. Amen? So he gives us things we can understand. He goes, you receive your inheritance. He receives the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness is how you reign in life. And then the other thing is he goes, so if you understand an inheritance, and I think we understand this, is if I was the son of Bill Gates, would I be worried about finances? No. Well, guess what? Why? Because, well, I'm in the family, right? Well, guess what? Jesus is the wealthiest man in the world, and now you're in his family. But he goes one step further. He goes, I'm going to give you another relationship so you understand me. I'm going to make you married to me, that two have become one. We're one flesh now. Hallelujah, man. So that means everything that's true about Jesus is true about you. And that's the gospel. Now, so that's what I want to show you is I promise you that if you're reading scripture and it feels judgmental or condemning, you're just reading it wrong. So I'm going to show you that scripture contains the word of God, but how many of you guys know all scripture is not the word of God? And I'm going to show you that. Scripture actually asks the word of God for advice in the Bible. It's kind of cool. Does that help you guys? Maybe not. You're all looking at me like, what in the world are you talking about? So, all right, let's go here. I can't do it, but I think I must not have it on the... all right, John 1:1, little review from last week. And at the tabernacle, the four beasts, which one was John? The eagle, because it was spiritual. So the eagle, he was spiritual. That's why there was no lineage given. It says he sits out of time. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, meaning there's no beginning and no end. That's why there's no, he was the eagle in the tabernacle like we showed. So we talked about the four beasts in Revelation, which are really just a picture of what they see in the heavenly throne room. And we can figure that all out by going looking at the testimonies in the Old Testament. Go, what are the types and shadows? And we see that all four of those beasts were around the tabernacle in the wilderness. And God told Moses, make this exactly like you see it in heaven. And then we see in John, in Revelation, John sees the same thing. Does that make sense? So it's not, you don't have to be scared that these four beasts with these eyes are going to jump out of you when Iran gets nuclear weapons. That's not how it works. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So now, when we don't believe that theology, we start believing all kinds of weird stuff, though. Like Hillary's the Antichrist and Trump's the Antichrist. Who knows? And Yet all the apostles said, listen, the spirit of the Antichrist is here right now. And all it was, hey, we believe in God, but we don't believe in Jesus. They were pro-God, but anti-Christ. Does that make sense? Antichrist means we're going to do all the work. The 666, that was the woman bowed down, and Jesus said, she was bowed down for 18 years, 6 plus 6 plus 6, and he said, ought not this daughter of Abraham, meaning she received an inheritance, be raised up? So, anyway, relax. It's good news. We got nothing but good news ahead of us. Does that make sense? All right. So in the beginning was the Logos. I'm going to drop down to verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he, because in the middle there it says, listen, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Even though he built everything, created everything, those are his covenant people. He came to them and they believed him not. They were pro-God but anti-Christ. Does that make sense? Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he told them, pray harder and build your faith. To them he gave them. He gives. God so loved the world, he gave. He gives. He gave them the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. If you're a child in the household, what does that mean? I'm an heir. So we have everything that Jesus has. We've been joint heir with Jesus Christ, is what it says. Does that make sense? All right. Such simple messages, but it's interesting how far off we get. To those who believe in his name. And what is, if I take his name, what does that mean? It's not a prayer thing that you go yell in the name of Jesus at the end of it, because that then it works. And that's how I was taught, right? Make sure you say it, the name of Jesus at the end. And I'm like, wait a minute, the dude on the cross, he didn't say that. He just said, Jesus, if there's any way, remember me. Amen? He didn't have a long prayer. He didn't go to prayer class, how to receive from God, how to hear God, how to do any of that. He just believed that the message of Jesus, man, this guy is who he says he is. He's the Messiah. He's the one that's going to save me and redeem me and give me everything back. If there's any way, Jesus, you're innocent. I know I'm not, is what he said. And what did Jesus say? Not your unbelief's more than your belief, so you can't, you're disqualified. See how we disqualify the body of Christ when we teach that kind of nonsense? It's nonsense to me. Is if we ask Jesus for anything, he says, I withhold no good thing. The problem is we don't believe we're worthy, and so we don't receive it. So does that make sense? He gives you everything freely, guys. Never let some weird teaching tell you that your belief, your faith is not enough. Amen? Because he is the faithful one. The covenant had to be about him. If it had to be with us, we're in the old covenant, and we will screw it up, I promise you. So, I took his name, meaning that now I'm one with Jesus. I'm married to him. I am the bride of Christ, and he's the groom. You guys get it? That's what I took his name means. He bowed himself and gave us gifts at the wedding feast. He gave us gifts of the Spirit. So, you guys get all that. I think I've taught you that well enough. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, they weren't out of Jewish descent, nor of the will of the flesh. Man, I was good enough. I kept all the commandments. Right? As I've said, if I've missed one, how many did I miss? You sinners, you. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were actually born from God. They're in God's household. They're God's children. All of you guys are. Amen? So, and the word, or the Logos, the message of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. So, the word of God is simply what? Jesus. Amen? This is the whole book. And so, let's just go through that again. I pulled this out of Helps Warp Studies, if you want to look at it. So, Logos, speaking to a conclusion, a word, a message, being the expression of a thought. This was God's. So, when you look at the Bible, the expression of man was, the first man's going to fall, but the last man, Jesus Christ, I'm going to make everybody perfect and back into an everlasting kingdom. I'm going to redeem them, restore them, make them sinless, make them the spotless bride, back in my family, and one step more, married to me. Isn't that hot when you understand it? That's the expression or thought. So the Logos is preeminently used of Christ, expressing the thoughts of the Father through the Spirit. Second definition, a common term with regards to a person sharing a message. And if you read that, guys, if you go look up Rhema, it's almost the exact same. In fact, it's really hard to distinguish between Rhema and Logos. But the Logos of God, the complete message or thought of God, is he loves you so much, he was going to send Jesus, now you're sinless again, and you're married to him. So the message about God, about you, is what? Jesus. You're one with him. Everything is true about Jesus is true about you. So, does Jesus have any sin seated at the throne? Then how much sin do you have? None. That's why in Hebrews it says, boldly come to the throne of grace. You don't have to sacrifice anymore because one man was sacrificed. Now all there is the tabernacle of David. The doors are wide open. Even the Gentiles, you and I can come. And all there is praise and worship. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We don't need to sacrifice an animal anymore because Jesus was sacrificed, which made us all sinless. That's the message of God about your life, okay? So, in regards to a person sharing a message, communication is a broad term meaning reasoning expressed by words. So I just summarized it. The message, saying, or logic, we get the same word logic or logos, the same. And this is how, let me just explain this to you. I remember I would get confused when I would hear these pastors on TV go, they would say stuff like this. They would say, his ways are higher than your ways. I'm like, well, thanks. That really helps me a lot. I get that I'm stupid, but now I really don't get it. So you got to sit there and fast and pray until you get the rhema. Because his way, Mike, there's a way that leads unto death. You know what that is? The law. That's what Paul said. There's a way that sounds good, but in the end, it leads to death. That's what Paul said. So his higher ways is this. Hey, listen, I don't have to bless you based on your obedience. If I just find one man, this is his way, I can bless all men. That's his ways are higher than our ways. Because our ways, when we blow up, what do? Man, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve any of the blessings of God. Right? But his way says, all I need is one man to be perfect. And now I can bless all mankind because one man was obedient. That's why his ways are higher than our ways. Doesn't that help you? When they go, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. We just don't know. That does nothing for me. In fact, I go, well, how can I have faith? You know, stand on your faith, Mike. Well, that gives me none. That gives me no faith to go, his ways are higher, so you stupid little thing, you didn't fast and pray as much, so I know more than you. I'm the man of God. I'm like, I remember sitting there going, that gives me no faith. You're telling me to stand on faith, yet now it just gave me doubt. Right? But his way, this is why we go, bring this to remembrance of me. All I needed is one man to make everybody sinless for the rest of their life and worthy to receive their blessings. That is the logos or the expression of God about you. You guys get it? Okay, so everything that Jesus qualifies for, that's why we can pray supernaturally for Ken and just go, I don't care what happens. I don't care anything. He's divinely protected. That's just the way it is. And we can walk in that. Follow me? Well, that can't be because I saw this happen to me. I know, but I know. We had to learn things like that. We had to let that fear come into us. You know, well, you know, if you do this, then this happens. I was taught that. Well, now there's no assurance again. So the assurance comes, and if, hey, listen, do things happen to us? Of course. But I know it has nothing to do with the Father. That's not who he is. It's not him punishing you if something happens. Everything, every character flaw I have, every negative thing is some part of the gospel I just haven't truly believed yet. And it's not a level. It's just I didn't realize that was that true about me today. Does that help you guys? So when you think about, man, I'm going through stuff. Anybody ever go through stuff? We're all going through something right now, I guarantee you. We're all going through something, aren't we? So what do we need to do? We need to renew our mind to the reality that, wait a minute, this is the truth about my life. And the more we start to let that seed plant in our heart, guess what? It starts to manifest. What we believe truly starts to manifest. Does that help you guys? Okay, maybe not, but hopefully it does. All right, so here I want to show you that Scripture is different from the Word of God. John 8, all right? The scribe and the Pharisees. What are the scribe and the Pharisees knowledgeable of? The law, right? Old covenant. So the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. And you guys, that is a picture of us. That's not the woman. Everybody was like, I hear all these weird teachings that go, a certain woman, a woman is always a picture of us. We're the bride. Follow me? And so he's showing that the nation of Israel, the covenant children of God and all of us, were caught in adultery. Isn't that what he said? You adulterous nation, right? Okay, maybe. All right. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery, which is a picture of the Jewish nation and all of us, really. We were caught in it, right? All right. So, and when they had set her in the midst, in the middle, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. All right. So the scribes and the Pharisees understand, they know Scripture. They had to memorize it in their Jewish schools. Follow me? They go, we know Scripture, but the Word of God became flesh. So now they're going to ask the Word of God for advice. Hey, we know Scripture, but Word of God, what do you say? That's what they say here. Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But Word of God, what do you say? See, we cannot read the Bible and not know, if we don't know his heart for us, that David. How many guys have heard David as a man after God's own heart? I'd heard every teaching on that except the correct one. I'm like, that is not at all what any of that means. David, it tells us what it means. It says, David had a man after God's own heart. And when David committed two acts that he should have been stoned for, what did David do? Lord, I know you don't want sacrifice. You want mercy and grace. He knew that God didn't want sacrifices. He wanted mercy. That's the true heart of God. I never want to punish man for their sin. David understood that. So that's the true heart. Now, did he do all the other things, bring the ark right back into Jerusalem? Yes, he did all those things. But the heart of David means he knew what God really wanted. He didn't want sacrifice. He wanted mercy and grace. That's the heart of David. Does that help you guys? Okay, that's why the sure mercies of David, that all that teaching too. So, all right. Hey, we know the law. The law says you all are guilty, right? But Jesus, what do you say? And that's why I love John 3:16, but nobody reads 17 and 18. God so loved the world, he came to what? Fantastic. Then the next verse is, get busy and be a better Christian. No. He said, I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save it. Amen? So that's what they're telling him. Hey, the law says you're judged and you're guilty, but word of God, what do you say? See how this is very different? Did Jesus ever judge anybody that came to him in sin? No. Who did he judge? The law. The Pharisees. Amen? And he was pretty hard on the multitudes too. So you got to make sure who's he talking to? Because they'd always say something like this. He went to the scribes and the Pharisees. He went into the house. Right? Which was the nation of Israel, the old covenant, the law, etc. Then he went out by the seashore and the multitudes, but the multitudes he wasn't real kind yet either. He goes, really? You want to follow me? Then take up your cross. Give up everything you got. Who's the only man that could give up everything he got? Jesus. He's not telling you. This is where Christians go. You know what? I'll give up everything, Lord. That's fantastic, but he doesn't want you to. How many guys took a motorized vehicle to church today? Why don't you give it up? Give it all up for him. Isn't that goofy? Well, no, he doesn't mean all. No, that's what he said. Give it all. If you want to follow me, if you want to, what would Jesus do? You can't do. Sorry, even your bracelet. You can't do it. What would Jesus do? Stop trying. You can't do it. He's the only one who gave up everything. He says, then take up your cross daily and come follow me. Give up everything you got. And all the multitudes went away sad. Then the sinner would come, you and I, and they'd go, we suck. We qualify for nothing. And what were the commandments that Jesus gave us? Nothing. Man, receive everything for free. You guys get it? Okay, all right. So the scriptures are asking the word of God. They said this testing him that they might have something which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear. Now, Barb and I were sitting here yesterday and like, I got it. So the first time, so the Pharisees, the law, right? God wrote, engraved on stones with his finger. Doesn't it say that? Okay, so Jesus kneels down. I've heard Joseph Prince, but I think it's a little better than even how he teaches it. So Joseph Prince said, hey, the stones, if you go look, the temple where he was writing, he bent down and wrote in the sand, but literally he's writing on stones right there, right? So Moses comes down the mountain, and what did he do with the stones? Broke them. So the message to you is, you broke it the first time he writes on the stone. I'm going to show you this. He writes on the stone twice. So He's the Pharisees are asking him, hey, listen, the law says we need to stone this woman and kill her. And he goes, yeah, you broke it. The first time the stones were written, Moses came down, he broke it. Got me so far? Okay, let's keep going. Verse 9. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, because the law, that's all it can do, is to show you how guilty you are, right? Went out one by one, beginning with the old ones. They were all guilty. The old covenant made everybody guilty. The oldest, even to the last. And Jesus, when the law is taken away and Jesus is left alone with us. See how this works? So when all the law is gone, it says the oldest down to the very last went away. How many guys know that? That's what it says. Listen, if not one jot and tittle is fulfilled, then you're still in your sin. But what he's showing you is, listen, all of you are guilty. When I wrote on the stones the first time, it was broken. And they were all convicted and they had to go, you're right, then we're all guilty too. And they all went away. But when the law is completely gone and all you're left with is Jesus, what's his message about you? See, a lot of you guys are trying to mix it yet. You're still trying to go on the first stones that were written, and all it can do is kill you and convict your conscience. And then guess what, guys? All kinds of sickness, all kinds of poverty, nonsense, because we don't feel worthy anymore. But you start looking at us, and we hear all these weird teachings like, if you were a better steward, if you were this, if you were that. Well, how many of you guys have been a perfect steward your whole life? No, I blow it daily. Amen? So if that was written about me, then I'm convicted again. The stewardship was the Jewish nation. He goes, I've given you the oracles, God, and all this, and you still committed adultery. It's not you being a good steward. Okay? Does that free you up? All those parables. I get myself in trouble when I start talking about that. When Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the middle. So all it was Jesus and us, the bride. Amen? When Jesus had raised himself up. When did he raise himself up? When we were completely justified. He said, you know what? He died for our transgressions, but he raised for our justification. So when the law is completely gone, he fulfilled all of it, and he rose himself up. Now here, you're going to get the message of God about yourself. Does that make sense? When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? And what does Colossians say? That old covenant was nailed to the cross. It's no longer a debt you have to pay. Right? And it says, the weapon that was used against you by the enemy is spiritual warfare? No. It says the law. That's the only thing he can accuse you with. He goes, that was nailed to the cross, and now everything, every principality, every power, everything's under your feet. Amen? The only way you cannot receive everything he's got is you don't believe it was nailed to the cross and you still feel guilty. Okay? I promise you, when you start going, Lord, I know I don't feel like anything today. In fact, I don't deserve a thing, but Father, this is the truth about my life, is I'm completely sinless, even though I'm in sin right now. I'm completely prosperous, even though I'm poor right now. You start planting that in your heart, guys, you become it. We are human beings, not human doings. The old covenant is about doing, and the new covenant, God said, you know what? I am who I am. Moses says, who should I say sent me? And what did God say? I am who I am. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you still feel guilty because you're trying to follow the law, guess what? You're going to feel dirty, and it's going to make you weak and beggarly. But when you go, wait a minute, I am married to Christ, this is the truth about my life, and you start standing on that, going, this is who I am. And how I read this, I am who I am, that means God says I am love, right? He goes, when I believe that all I have is love, it's so rich in me that it can't help itself but manifest. I am, so that's who I am. You can't mistake it. I am, so I believe this so much about myself that it naturally just happens. Does that make sense to you guys? So we need to become I ams. I am this. Right? And I can just tell you it works. This is a practical example to me. So I was the youngest of seven kids, little knuckleheaded Polish kids in Iowa, single mom. And I was pretty good at school. She knows this. And why? Because I'm smarter? No. My mother, here's what she said. She told me this later. She goes, I didn't start any of the boys in kindergarten until they were six. I was like, why? She goes, because you'd be ahead of everybody else and you'd think you're smart. Really? So I wasn't smarter than anybody? She goes, oh, heavens no. But I believed I was. So I am, so I am. That's just practical to me. I didn't think I was stupid ever. So I'm like, I can figure this out. I know I'm retarded most of the time, but I know I can figure this out. That's just what I always believed about myself. Follow me? And that becomes who you are. So the strongholds that we carry are bad teachings, bad things that we've been taught that we carry around. I go, that's who I am, because that's how that became a stronghold in your life. It has nothing to do with spiritual warfare, demons attacking your house and doing any of that. We are so fearfully and wonderfully made, guys, that what we truly believe in our heart starts to manifest. And it'll be physical. I get it. You know, people run around, demons falling and all that. Man, we've been around it. And we've seen it all. We've casted enough stuff out. After a while, you're just like, that is nonsense, man. Stop that. I don't want any part of this anymore. And you know what? It'll go away. It's fantastic. It really is. Now, we didn't know anything the first time we saw it. I felt like I stayed in the Holiday Inn Express last night. You're like, do you know what you're doing? No. But I stayed in the Holiday Express. I'll handle this. This lady was manifesting, and we're like, what do we do? Hey, we read a book last night. That's about what it was. It's just crazy. But then when you go, wait a minute, this cannot happen. in my life. You won't have to battle things over your house or anything like that. You start believing right, I promise you it goes away. It does. That's why I love Joseph Prince's testimony that, where was it, Columbia, the mental hospital? Somewhere in South America or Central America, I don't remember where. But in his last book, he talks about that. It was a mental ward. And he went in there and all these people who were mentally unstable, and all he did, guys, is sing Jesus Loves You. And you go read the testimony, like 3 months later, all of them were released. Because the Spirit of God, meaning what internally drives you, is goes, you're perfect, he loves you perfectly. Because most of them felt dirty or they were abused sexually. And if that's you guys, I get it. That didn't happen to me, so I can't say I know how you feel. I can't. But I know when I feel dirty and guilty because of something I've done, and it works the same way. As they go, wait a minute, something may have just happened to me, or I may have caused something. That's usually the worst. How many of you guys know when we get ourselves in a situation that we caused, that's the hardest to receive? And they're going to start teaching you everything. Well, let me tell you why this is happening. You didn't hear God, and you weren't a steward, and you all this stuff. I'm like, thanks. Appreciate that. That really helps me. But stand on faith. No, that gives me no assurance. It's a covenant supposed to be unbreakable. The covenant is, what's true about Jesus is true about me. Even though I'm messed up, this is what's truth about me. And then it'll gradually be restored. I'm just telling you, it works. So what happens to us, we can't always control necessarily, but what we believe about ourselves, even if it happened to us, means all the difference in the world to me. Does that help you guys? Okay, so the law is all gone. Jesus raises himself up. That's just a picture of, you know, when he was raised, we've been justified. We're sinless for the rest of our lives. Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Can't be. The law has been nailed to the cross. The accuser's been disarmed, all right? He has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And the word of God said to her, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Now, is he telling her never to sin again? No. That's why it says in Romans 6 and 7, he said, should we go on sinning that grace may abound? No. But would grace abound if we go on sinning? Yes, that's why he had to ask the rhetorical question. Because that's not the point. He goes, how that you are dead to sin, and that dead to sin, we're Barbara and I were sitting there at the counter, I go, huh, I bet dead to sin is in the aorist tense, meaning that it happened once and it's true for the rest of our lives. So we pull up Bible Hub, put it in there, sure enough, you are dead to sin. You're sinless even when you sin the rest of your life. That's the truth about your life. How that you are dead to sin, live any longer there in it. It's impossible, is what he's saying. He's trying to tell you that it's impossible for you to sin. Wait a minute, I sinned. No, that's not the truth of who you are. The truth of who you are is you are the spotless bride, sinless for the rest of your life. Now receive everything that I was obedient for. Every promise is now yes and amen. That's the gospel. Does that make sense? There's two parts. They came out of Israel by what? Blood, grace, exactly right. They came out of Israel, right? And they wandered around for 40 years. Follow me? But then when Moses the servant was dead, what did he tell Joshua? Yeshua, which is Jesus. Hey, when the law is completely dead, now cross over and receive your inheritance. Receive Canaan land. There's two parts, guys. You're completely sinless. Don't stop there. If I could get 5% of the church to believe that, God, we'd have a revival. I'm serious. Everybody's waiting for somebody to fall down and a feather to come out of the sky. But my tooth to turn gold. Right? I'm like, that's fine. If God wants to do that, fantastic. But it says the power of God unto salvation is believing the right thing about your life. And when the Holy Spirit fell, when Peter was talking to Cornelius, it says when they heard that they were forgiven of sin, the Holy Spirit fell. And they began to speak in tongues. Does that help you guys? A feather didn't fall. He didn't go, let me see your tooth. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a revival. Let's go. Because his tooth turned gold. I see these people. We know them all. That's the problem. We know them all. I'm like, dude, you're in the same situation you were 10 years ago. How many feathers have you collected now? Oh, a lot. Nobody's changed. I want you to get out of your nonsense. Follow me? I want you to have joy. At least I want to have joy. If I'm the only guy having joy, thank you, Lord. I just want to have joy, right? I'm going to watch the game, have a hot dog. It's going to be beautiful today. I have joy. It's wonderful. I don't sit around and condemn myself because I'm sinless. It's impossible for me to live in it. That's what you guys need to know. That is the gospel. Now, the second part is not only removed out of Egypt, it's time to cross over into the new covenant and receive your inheritance. Hallelujah. You're sinless. That means all the promises are yes and amen. So every promise in Deuteronomy 28 is yours because of the obedience of Jesus. Does that help you? That's the word of God about your life. That's the Logos of God. Does that help? Okay, let's finish this up. So, neither do I judge you. You're sinless for the rest of your life. Go have fun.
Thank you, Lord.
That's it. So my message to you is, you cannot be judged. There's no judgment in Christ Jesus. It's impossible for you to sin. Thank you, Father. Now receive your inheritance. Receive your health. Receive your prosperity. Everything he did for you. Does that help? I just gave you the rhema of God. That is the message of Jesus Christ. You don't need to wait and fast and pray. Who are we just talking about that? Somebody at our house. Oh, yeah, was it Sula and Rico, wasn't it? We would go. I used to do this. I'd go, sweetie, I'm going to go get a hotel room. Here's where I'm at. I'm going to pray and fast until I hear God. I would last like that night. I go, hon, this is nonsense. I'm coming home and eating with you. Because honestly, every time I would go, I would sit there, and here's what I'd hear from the Lord. What are you doing? And I thought I was wrong because all these big ministries and preachers were going, be still and hear that voice of God. Well, a guy with ants in his pants, it's really hard for me to be still. Max, you're the same way, isn't it? Like, be still. I can't. Right? I just can't. So I would sit there and go, okay, I'm going to make it through 2 days this time, Lord. I would never make it through the night. I don't know if I ever stayed overnight. I'd pay for 2 nights of hotel and be like, the heck with this. Every time I try to do this, God goes, you don't need to wait for anything. What are you doing? Go home with your wife. It's not good for man to be alone. What am I doing here alone? Right? This is I had all these theological struggles, Les, because I was getting taught the wrong stuff by men of God. Like, that's not the word of God about your life. The word of God about your life is you're sinless, now go and sin no more. You can't even do it if you tried. But don't stop there. Go, I want all of it. Give me everything that Jesus qualified for. If I'm a joint heir, I want it. I want to own the Yankees. I do. I do. Why not? It would be, Ron and I, we're going to own it, right, bro? I go, we will own that, I promise you. Like, I hate the Yankees. Well, you're going to learn to like them when we give you the Yankees. You'll want to be in the owner's suite. I go, wait a minute, take that hat off. Whatever. I do. It's just one of those things. I go, would that be bad to the bone that the most iconic stadium in the world? And one of our business partners is like, well, I don't think it'll come for sale. I go, God's good, man. I don't know how. Right? So I hope they suck for a couple years so their price goes down. That's just the desire of my heart. I'm crazy enough to believe stuff like that. Because if Jesus gave us the whole cosmos, the whole world, then why can't I have part of it? I know. I believe that. I really do. I do. So anyway, and you know what? I'm not trying to have this supernatural faith. I have no clue that's not what I'm worried about. I'm not trying to stand on anything. I'm not walking around Yankee Stadium yelling at it. That's mine in Jesus' magnificent name. Walking around. That's an old covenant thing. In the new covenant, he said, go explore it spiritually. Go look at this thing. See your promised land. Follow me? They did that in the old covenant, which is a type and shadow of the new covenant. How many guys, let's be honest, you walked around something talking to it, pointing at it, confessing, that's mine. Come on. Oh, Lord, all you did is wear out your souls. So, I know, because that's what we were taught. Did she hear what she said? You told us to. I know, that's because I know. Listen, it was such good news to me when we heard the truth. Honestly, I was like, I don't have to do any of that. Praise God. So when we were told, you guys, we did it all wrong, guys. We were all wrong. Everything I taught you was wrong. Get rid of it. Throw the old bondwoman out. The old woman's cast out. Get rid of that ugly thing. Married to the new bride, the better covenant. Follow me? Leah's ugly. Get rid of that one. Because that one had the veil. It's the old covenant. That's an ugly bride. Follow me? We're the new covenant bride, so that's what we want. Follow me? Yeah, no offense if your name's Leah. That's what people look like. They feel cursed. I got to change my name because God called me Leah. No, that's not you. It's an allegory. Just relax, right? Okay, let's finish this up. I'm getting myself in trouble. All right. So you guys see that Scripture is different than the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Scripture can kill you if you read it from an old covenant mindset. That's why Scripture, the experts in Scripture, asked the woman caught in adultery, asked Jesus, hey, Scripture says we should kill him. But what do you say, Word of God? And he goes, I say, oh, I didn't cover this. Hold on. I've missed one part. I'll finish this real quick. Jesus was left alone, the woman, he's standing there. I didn't do it. That's why. Did I skip one? Oh, I skipped a slide. I want to show you this. You got 2 minutes? I promise I'll be done. All right. First time he writes on the stones, what happens? They break. The second time he writes on the stones, what happens to them? They're unbroken. They put him under the mercy seat. And see, and here's how Joseph Prince teaches it, which I don't think it's accurate, but I love Joseph Prince. So listen, I've got everything. But he goes, listen, the unbroken stones, the rod that budded again, and the golden pot of manna are all symbols of our disobedience. And so he covered it with sin. But I don't believe that. I believe he wrote on the stones again. He goes, hey, the old covenant, you broke them. And the new covenant, you never broke them. Because even in Revelation, he says, I want you to come and eat from the golden pot of manna, which is Jesus himself. I want you to eat from the rod that was dead but gave life again, came back. And I want you to realize that the stones have never been broken in your life. That's Jesus. That's why it's in the very center of the stone. So I don't think he's covering your disobedience. I think he's showing you this is Jesus. This is the truth about your life. The stones are not broken. You never broke them. So then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman in adultery. What did I miss it? I didn't put it up there. Oh, you said I skipped a slide. Anyway, he writes on, I'm sorry. Thank you, Father, that I'm sinless. His Polish, but sinless. So he, if I would have concluded, I just must have missed it. He bent down and wrote again, and those stones were never broken. First stones, the old covenant is broken. The reality about your life, the new covenant, he bent down and wrote on the stones again, and those are unbroken. And those are in the middle of the throne room, and that's the message about your life. You never broke anything. You're spotless and sinless. Amen? Those are that's why he wrote twice, because Moses brought two stones. One broke and one didn't. Does that help you guys? That's just cool stuff about the... All right, so let's finish this up. Okay, so the Word of God, your life is always faithful and true. The message about your life... How many of you guys know when you sin, can that stop the favor of God? The message remains faithful, as if you've never sinned. Man, if you can get that. So do you deserve to be blessed, even though you've sinned? Yes. Man, the grace of God does not stop because he looks at you as spotless and sinless. That's the message of God about your life is Jesus Christ himself. That's why in John it says, listen, what's true about him is true about you. As he is, so are you in this age, this world. Does that help you guys? Or you can get to your feet. So, old covenant was all about doing. That's why I said we need to get to the point where I am who I am. Because we're married to him now. Follow me? So, when you really believe that he qualified you for everything, you start planting that in your heart, like, wait a minute, I am prosperous. And you start planting in your heart, it's just a matter of time, guys. I am, that'll be who you are. Follow me? When you keep planting in your heart that, man, I'm guiltless, I'm innocent, I receive every blessing of God for the rest of my life, it'll be come. That's why Joseph Prince always talks about it comes effortlessly. Because you plant it in your heart and says, we know not how we go to sleep, but first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn, then the full harvest. Just starts, your heart is the governor of everything about your life. What do you believe about yourself? And all I'm trying to share with you is, whatever is true about Jesus is true about you. So are you supernaturally blessed? Yes. So you can walk out and go, I know it doesn't look like it, and I know I did this wrong, and I did that wrong, and I wasn't a steward, and I didn't do anything right. The financial planners, this drives them nuts when I share this message. But the prodigal son, was he a good steward? Did God restore everything? He didn't go, you know, you didn't hear from me. Go back to when you heard me last. When was that? Right? And you know, you really need to get your act together because you need to be a better steward. Does that give you any assurance? The message about your life is Jesus. That prodigal son came back. He goes, listen, nothing changed. Put the robe, the ring, and the shoes back on. You're worthy to be my son. Let's party. That was his message. And the old one said, we can't party, we don't have a lamb. God's like, come on, come in. The father says, come in. All you have to do is ask and you have it. Follow me? Okay, so are you supernaturally blessed? Yes. So what do we do? How do we make this practical? We go out on Monday going, you know what, Lord, I know this looks crazy, but I expect to receive the supernatural favor of Christ ever around me this week in Jesus' name. Wherever I go, whatever I put my hand to, I don't need to speak to it. I just know I already have it because I am a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Amen? Whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. You'll be blessed when you go in. You'll be blessed when you're going out. You'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed in the city. Doesn't matter what you do. Follow me? How many guys are wondering what to do with your life? You don't have to raise your hand if it's personal. Trust me, I hide this sometimes too. I'm like, what in the world? What am I doing? So, but I get it. And you know what he wants to do? Whatever you want to do. See, I'm a father. I don't do this. I don't go to my son Solomon. Solomon, I'm going to tell you what you're going to be when you grow up. Now, you obey me and hear me closely. What would you say? What would you call me as a father?
Bully.
What a jerk. Bully's good. Somehow we think the father that's pure love acts that way. Where'd you hear him last? You better be obedient. Lord, I'm just being obedient to your voice. No, you're not. If you've missed one, what does he say? I'm going to put a desire in your heart. And whatever you want to do, trust me, and we'll do it together. He's waiting for you to tell him, Lord, this is what I want to do. You don't need to hear him. He's waiting for you to hear. Does that help you guys? He wants to supernaturally bless you. He wants you to display his splendor. Don't worry about, man, I need to go hear him. 10 steps to hearing the Lord. You just heard the Lord. You just heard the word of God about your life. This is the truth about your life. So he's going, I love you so much. What do you want to do? I want to go in the Yankees, Lord. Perfect. Let's do that together. Did you hear God? No, it's a desire in my heart. Is that right? Well, go back to when you heard him. No, he'd probably pick some loser team. I'm here in my heart. I want to win. Does that make sense? I just believe that's how he is. I believe he's a good father. He doesn't go, you better listen to me obediently. And see, that's where we get all mixed up. That's why God says, you know what? By the obedience of one man, bring every thought captive to the obedience of one. Is that you? Nope. No. The obedience of one made you perfect forever, is what it said. So bring every thought to the obedience of him. So if he was perfectly obedient in Deuteronomy 28, if he'd said, you know what? He listened day and night. He diligently hearkened to the Lord. As long as one person did that, what does that mean? All of those promises are mine. I don't have to go, if I diligently obey. I doubt if I can. And I doubt if you can. I remember hearing Mega Ministries goes, you know what? Read Joshua. Meditate day and night. This is where we lose people. You lost me. Because I want to sleep. Who was the one who did it day and night? Christ. Now, he meditate day and night, so guess what I get? All of it. Hallelujah. Well, you can't say that. Yes, that's the gospel. That's the message. That's the logos about your life. Does that help you? So start being human beings, not human doings. This is who I am. I believe this is about the truth about my life. Does that help? Okay, if you believe that, if you believe you're completely sinless and a joint heir of Christ, guess what? You're born again out of that spirit. Now you became an heir. You start believing the right thing and you start receiving it. Does that help you? So if you believe that, guys, start enjoying it. Now you're a son, you're a joint heir. That message that you're completely sinless allows your heart to start receiving freely. I'm born again out of a spirit, not out of blood or a will of man. That's what it said. I'm actually born of God, of a spirit. He breathed his life into me again. Guys, you guys know that. If you start going, you know what, Lord, I know the situation looks like a mess, but you're going to supernaturally recover this. You're going to supernaturally restore this. You bring me to a place better than what I could ever be. It starts to give life to you, doesn't it? You start to feel it. It actually feels it. And it's not like, did you feel that? Whoa. We're sharing that too. Remember, Shulin? I saw that lady get up there. Nah. I go, it scares people. If I'm a non-believer and I come in, I go, what was that? I want to hear the gospel. Right? Isn't that true? Why, Breed? Did it scare you?
Yeah, it did.
The first time it scared me, I was like, this large woman started to undress herself in front of Barb and I, like rolling around and people are running around with their napkins. Trying to cover them. Like, which planet am I on? Like, this is church? Wait a minute, I thought he's orderly. What's going on here? Isn't that the stuff we... Oh, Lord. It's so much simpler than that. Do I believe in the power of God? Of course I do. Do I believe in the gift? Of course I do. But I think you just kick butt with it. You know who you are in Christ? You know how to handle it. You just walk around and go, man, I'm the baddest dude on the planet because I'm married to him. Right? That's how it works. You start to be born out of that spirit. Does that help you? Oh, I got myself in trouble. So let's just pray. The truth about you. And we did it too, guys. We had napkin runners, whatever. I remember we bought them. Remember?
Catchers.
Yeah, Laura, I think we probably sent Laura with money with the church to go buy some things to put it over them when they fall down on the ground. And then you'd see people do this. They would look. Now, how many ever did that? Be honest. I remember laying on the ground going, oh. My wife would go, I'm not going down. She's like, I'm not going down. Then the man of God pushed us down. So we fell. It's easier to fall after a while. Let's just fall down because he's going to push us into the chair, sweetie. So anyway, let's stop. Sorry. Hey, the message of God is simple. It's Jesus. What's true about him is true about you. So you are supernaturally blessed. I just want you to say that. Father, I'm supernaturally blessed. Just say it. I'm supernaturally blessed. It's not some weird repeat after me, anything like that. You start going, wait a minute, I am supernaturally blessed. I'm a joint heir of Christ. I'm sinless. He sees me as perfect. Thank you, Father, that I receive everything that Jesus... Man, I'm guilty. He loves me so much. He never will judge me ever again. It's impossible for him to impute sin. Guys, how would you feel if you knew you were never judged for anything you ever did again? Freedom. That's what it says. The Son has set you free, you're free. Now stay free. Don't get tangled in with old covenant nonsense again, is what he says in Galatians, right? Just be free and receive everything freely. So, Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. We just thank you that Jesus loved us so much that he died willingly for us, removed everything. Every judgment, every condemnation, all guilt from our lives. We never have to be guilty one day again. And we know that when all of it was taken away, he rose on the third day because we were completely justified. And he cleansed us forever. Now every promise is yes and amen. By one man's obedience, I'm completely and supernaturally healed from this day forward in Jesus' magnificent name. Just receive every part of your healing right now. Well, he loves you so much, he doesn't want that there. Just receive it freely in Jesus' magnificent name. You're healed. You're healed. You don't have to build up faith for it. Just start accepting it. Father, I thank you that you love me that much. Father, I thank you that all these people, that you supernaturally bless and prosper their businesses, their finances, everything, because they receive what Jesus qualified them for this week. Father, we thank you that we can hear you clearly. We don't need to learn to hear you. You just speak to us all the time through our heart, that we hear you clearly from this day forward. We just thank you that if it's ever a negative that we're seeing you through a veil yet, and that's not you, that's Scripture. You always say we're innocent and worthy to be blessed. So, Father, we just thank you for that. In Jesus' magnificent name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You're released in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.